this morning to Isaiah chapter 62. Isaiah 62. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shalt thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah. For the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength. Surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thine enemies, and the sons of the stranger shall not drink thy wine for the which thou hast labored. But they that have gathered it shall eat it and praise the Lord, and they that have brought it together shall drink it in the courts of my holiness. Go through the gates, prepare ye the way of the people, cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him, and they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. The text to which I call your attention this morning is Isaiah 62, verses 6 and 7. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silent, and give him no rest till he establish and till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the text that we consider this morning on this occasion of the installation of office bearers is a text that's found in the context of a beautiful promise. For Zion's sake, the servant of Jehovah speaks. It's important to note that because the nation of Israel was certainly in sad shape at the time of this prophecy. True Israel, God's elect church, was likened unto a hut in a garden of cucumbers, a besieged city, as we read in Isaiah 1, which means that the prophets that God sent were not heard by many. Most closed their ears to God's word, turned their backs on God's servant. So that when Isaiah so speaks, he emphasizes that regardless of the overwhelming rejection of the word of God that he preaches, he shall continue to speak. He shall preach the gospel, good tidings, but that gospel is for Zion's sake. To them and to them alone comes the word, God shall certainly accomplish the salvation that he has purposed for his church. And in the broader context, going back to the opening verses of chapter 61, we notice that it is indeed the servant of Jehovah who speaks this promise. That servant of Jehovah, though at that time speaking through the mouth of the prophet Isaiah, is in fact the Christ of God. Of that there can be no question, because Jesus himself interpreted these passages for us in Luke chapter 4, verses 16 and following. Christ speaks his promise. I will not hold my peace, I will not rest, until the righteousness of my church be revealed in all its brightness. That's the comforting promise that is ours, beloved, Christ's struggling church in the midst of this world. And with a view to that promise that still remains, Christ speaks from heaven. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. And then he issues this call. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. What a tremendous calling that is. Give him no rest. Him refers to Jehovah, who maintains his cause and his covenant in this world over against all the attacks of Satan and the powers of darkness. So that the calling given to us who are watchmen in Zion is a calling to total dedication to the office and calling that God has given us, and that for Zion's sake, the church must be built. She must be built by the means appointed by God, and she can only be built when the watchmen oversee her safety and guard her against the attacks of the enemy. What all is involved in that calling, we'll consider presently. But I call your attention to verses 6 and 7 of Isaiah 62 under the theme, called to be diligent watchmen. And although the text is clearly addressed to Jerusalem, the church, I choose to focus today upon the calling given to the watchmen, and therefore with application especially to the elders of the church, I call your attention to the following main points. Number one, set as watchmen. Number two, called to diligence. And number three, promised God's blessing. I have set my watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem. So says Christ to his church. He speaks prophetically to his church in the midst of Babylon. He had said in the first chapter of this prophecy, Zion shall be redeemed with judgment, her converts with righteousness. After experiencing great tribulation, not in small measure as a result of their own apostasy and departure from the word of God, God's truth, the city of God shall be established. Through chastisement, his people shall be restored. That's what God tells us. And we know from the rest of Scripture that this prophecy finds its complete fulfillment only upon the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ at the end of the world, upon the clouds of glory, when the righteousness of the elect church throughout the ages shall be fully revealed. But Isaiah, from his Old Testament perspective, sees one coming of Christ, stretching indeed from the incarnation to his return. And therefore, he doesn't see the perfected and glorified city removed from the battle and exalted in heaven. He sees that great city of God still on the earth. He sees Jerusalem rebuilt and the church standing yet in the midst of the battle and facing all the attacks of the evil one. Jerusalem needed watchmen. And the reason is abundantly clear from her own history and her place in the world. For her safety, she needed watchmen. Jerusalem was situated on Mount Zion as a mighty stronghold with massive walls and strong gates. But she lived under constant attack. She faced those threats also as a picture, because Jerusalem represented the militant church in the midst of this world. And the church is always under attack in the midst of this world, a world that hates God and his church and constantly tempts the church to commit spiritual adultery. And that's why the text is so applicable to our situation today and to this occasion of the installation of office bearers. Because this focuses our attention upon their calling, and especially as elders of the church. When I say that Jerusalem pictured the church, that's evident from what Scripture reveals concerning the place of that city in the Old Testament scheme of types and shadows. As I mentioned, Jerusalem was built upon Mount Zion. In fact, the city was often referred to simply as Zion. We read in Psalm 87, verses 2 and 3, "The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God." Notice Zion's called the city of God. And that city pictures the church. And so we read in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22 and 23, "But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven." That church, now gathered from all nations, is pictured in Jerusalem, the Jerusalem of God in the Old Testament Israel. By God's appointment, Jerusalem was uniquely the city of God. God dwelt in the midst of her. Her inhabitants were called the saints of God, children of God, citizens of the kingdom of God. They were called that even though among those Israelites were those who were not truly the children of God. There were dead branches there. There was a reprobate element. And very strong. Yet, organically considered, Jerusalem was the church and is today. She's the church, her citizens, members of Christ by faith, live in fellowship with God and with one another. We look to God for our refuge and strength over against all our enemies. We sing of her from Psalm 46, as did Martin Luther in the face of his great trials. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. This church God has purchased with the blood of his own dear son. The enemy wages war against us. And the struggle is long and bitter. And we look forward in hope to the day when the new Jerusalem will descend from God out of heaven. And the tabernacle of God will be with men eternally. Then the picture of the iron gates will be replaced by the pearly gates that stand wide open because the lurking enemy is banished to hell forever. Jerusalem's glory will be the very glory of God shining forth in the beauty of holiness. But you realize we haven't reached that point yet. We still find ourselves in the midst of the spiritual battle. So the reason for the appointment of watchmen is abundantly clear from the situation in which we find ourselves and the church in our day. For that spiritual battle in Israel of old hasn't changed at all. The enemies of God and his church are still numerous. In fact, given the historical development in the world and the organic development of sin, even as Scripture reveals it to us, we may say that the enemies of God are even more in number today and their attacks more fierce than ever before. The ferocity of those attacks might be covered up sometimes by subtlety. But ferocious they are, and God has given us a calling over against them. Christ himself has seen the battlefield. He knows his church. He knows the battles we face. He came into our place to fight those battles and to destroy our enemies, and that victorious Christ now reigns in heaven. But he continues the battle here, and he does so through you men and me, with his appointed servants leading the way. By his Spirit, he's taken up his residence in our midst, even in the hearts of all you who are his, and he is entrusted to you through your elders, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. He's given his church the keys of the kingdom. And he has said, whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So we read in Matthew chapter 16 and 18. So through the elders of the church, Christ opens and closes the gates of his kingdom, thus assuring his people that the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. You elders, myself included, are set as watchmen upon the walls of the city. God's Jerusalem, the city of the great king. To the congregation, Christ makes this announcement. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem. That's a blessing for you. That is, it's a blessing when the watchmen are faithful to their calling. Such faithfulness is expected of them. It's simply assumed here in the text. Because the proclamation by Christ is clearly a blessing for his church, for Jerusalem. He's given you watchmen. That has clearly been your blessing. I can say of the elders that have served in the years I've been here, almost 10 years now, I can say your elders have been your blessing. Excluding myself, Your elders have been your blessing. Christ has blessed you with watchmen. Faithful, careful, loving watchmen. That's announced here to you in order that you might recognize Christ's servants as your blessedness. For the fact is, God could give you so much, but if he give you not watchmen to protect you and to seek your spiritual welfare, the enemy would quickly prevail against you and take all that you have. We enjoy tremendous blessings as a congregation. We may never take those for granted, because those blessings are but an instant from being taken from us. We tend to take faithful watchmen for granted. And that's why we are given so much instruction in Scripture concerning our relationship to them and behavior toward them. We are called, for example, in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 13, to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Or again, from Hebrews 13. Verse 7 and 17, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith followed, considering the end of their conversation. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. Yes, for all their imperfections, Christ's faithful watchmen are your blessing. But I turn my attention now to you who join with me in this calling as watchmen. Christ has called you to the service of his church. Her safety rests largely with you. To you has been given the task to guard the walls of Jerusalem. That means, in accordance with the picture of the watchman, that you have to be alert against any attacks of the enemy in order that you might warn the inhabitants of this city to arm themselves with God's armor. You have to be watchful also for the enemy within the gate, because there are always those wolves in sheep's clothing who are deceivers, who attempt to lead God's people astray. Such wolves must be exposed and cast out. Along the same line of thought, from your post on the walls of the city, you must be watchful for these children of the city who would quickly place themselves in danger and easily succumb to the temptations of the evil one. And to such you must shout the warning cry. And if they seem not to hear, then you have to climb down after them, attempting to instruct them and lead them away from the pits of destruction. You have to also strengthen these citizens by sound instruction. Still more, according to the calling of watchmen, you must also know the hour, so that day and night you announce the signs of the times, calling the citizens to prepare for the wedding feast of the great king. These God's people must adorn themselves for the arrival of the king. And so at the same time, you are given the calling to be heralds of the King, proclaiming the coming of our Savior. I serve as that herald, especially from the pulpit, as well as in the catechism classroom and privately. Your calling is primarily to serve as such a herald in your individual contacts, what we might refer to as the pastoral care of the flock, some of which falls under the exercise of Christian discipline. But that calling isn't limited to formal Christian discipline. All these God's people fall under your care as watchmen of the city. As God's appointed watchmen, you are called to diligence. He proclaims to the blessing of Jerusalem, they shall have watchmen who shall never hold their peace day nor night. And then, turning to you who are watchmen, he says, ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silent, give him no rest, till he establish and till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Christ spurs us on to hold faithfully to the faith entrusted to us and to keep our eyes fixed upon that glory which is promised. And let's remember, the one who calls us to this task is the one who also said, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Psalm 69, John 2, verse 17. He's the one who gave himself entirely to the salvation of the city of God. Jesus' disciples witnessed that zeal, that diligence. During his entire earthly ministry, they observed how the zeal for Jehovah of hosts consumed him. From the very beginning of his observed ministry, when he cleansed the temple long corrupted by apostate wolves, Christ demonstrated his zeal for the holiness of God and his righteousness. Whether dealing with one person or preaching to a multitude, Jesus never failed to focus on the necessity of his calling. Deliberately he walked. And his calling was never easy. In fact, the difficulty of our calling cannot be compared to his, because he carried out all his labors as the suffering servant of Jehovah in the shadow of the cross. You will find that there will be those who entirely reject the word of God that you bring them. They don't want it. And remember, that characterized the vast majority of those to whom Jesus brought the word. That doesn't characterize the vast majority here. In mercy, God will give you fruits of rejoicing. He has. You will see and have seen the work of God's grace in the hearts and lives of his people. And for that, God be thanked. But remember, that work comes only because Jesus was faithful in walking the way to death. The death of the cross and the horror of being forsaken by God. In holy zeal, he walked in obedience to his calling, even when his enemy Satan desperately tried to prevent him. And then, triumphantly, Jesus' voice echoed through the valley of death, "It is finished." He made his march through the tomb into the heaven, to the very right hand of God, where all power has been entrusted to him. Over all creatures in heaven and on earth. Even now, the zeal of Father's house consumes him. He rules as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, carrying out the will of his Father. He gathers his church, protecting her in the midst of the dangers and trials that she faces. He's called you as his servant. And that same zeal must characterize us, my brethren. His people, also in this place, are worthy of that diligent labor. They are those purchased with Christ's precious blood. A great responsibility has been given us to guard this flock from the many assaults of the evil one, and to protect them from attack. The ravenous wolves of false doctrine and heresy are always ready to divide the spoil. And I speak not only of false doctrine far removed from the people of God, I speak of the very Word of God as it touches their lives from day to day. The devil would sow seeds of thought contrary to the Word of God and the teachings of the Scriptures. He sows that in the midst of the church. The attacks of the enemy are many. And the assaults upon the church have gone far beyond the days of old. We face, as it were, high-tech missiles which seek to permeate the church with the cancer of worldliness. The prosperity of our age assaults the spiritual senses, draws us to take our attention off the things which are spiritual and heavenly. The gods of this world are placed right before the eyes of our families with enticements to adopt them as their own. Our young people face temptations today, the likes of which we dared not dream of in our youth. The entertainment mentality of our age would seek to detract from the holiness of God and steal from the reverence and honor that is due his in worship. And I mention only a handful of attacks out of multitude. We who are watchmen in Zion, in the offices of Christ's church, may not rest lest the enemy overcome us. For the protection and safekeeping of this congregation, as well as for her spiritual nurture and strengthening, we are called to labor as servants of the great King. With pastoral labor, words of encouragement, with rebukes and admonition, as well as labors of discipline, with labors of instruction as well as comfort for the oppressed, we are called to labor with all diligence. What man is there among us who is qualified for this task? Have you, my fellow office bearers, asked yourself that question as I have asked myself? Surely, knowing my own weaknesses and failings, I trust you don't face your calling with a great deal of self-confidence. The fact is, if the protection of this city were left to ourselves and our wisdom and strength, woe be to this people. They would be scattered and destroyed. But the Lord assures us that when he sets his own watchmen upon the walls, he qualifies them for their calling and gives them the weapons and tools that they need. And the weapons that we bear and the tools that we use are not our own. They're not man-made. God gives us spiritual arms for the protection of his people. We labor with the word of God. And that word of God must be our meat day and night. When we minister to the people of God, when we approach the members of the church where God has called us, we have to do so with the word of God. We are those, in the words of the text, who make mention of our Lord. To express it another way, you are the Lord's remembrancers. You are those called to bring the mind of Jehovah before the minds of God's people. To bring to remembrance. Well, you understand that implies that you know that word. You know you because you've been taught of God. And we are all taught of God, not by some inner voice. We're taught of God by the Holy Spirit through the Scripture. And to be taught of God is not merely to be taught by him intellectually. It's to be taught to know him in love. We who love God also love those who are his. Your approach then to these people will be one of love. Whether they receive it as such or not. But there's another critically important tool which we are given in our calling to spiritual oversight of this congregation. That's prayer. To keep not silence is not only a call to bring the word of God continually to God's people, it's also a call to prayer. And when I find the words in verse 7, and give him no rest, I take that to be a call to continual prayer. God calls us to pray without ceasing. He demands of the watchmen of Zion that they storm his throne with constant prayer. That's necessary. It's impossible faithfully to execute our calling without prayer. As Jacob wrestled with the angel of Jehovah in weeping and supplication, as the widow never ceased to harass the unjust judge, or as the man who wearied his neighbor with midnight pleas, so we are called to beg of God that he carry out his counsel among the people with whom we labor, applying the word of God that we bring. Give Jehovah no rest till he establish and till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. These prayers, of course, are prayers that must be subject to God's will. They have to be motivated by our desire that God's name be hallowed, be kept holy in the midst of the congregation. They must be prayers that God save his church, even when it's necessary that we mark those who don't belong. They must be prayers that the church in this place show forth the glory of her Redeemer. Our fervent desire and request of God must be that he make of Jerusalem his church, also here a reflection of his own glory, until she shows forth in spotless holiness the praise of her Redeemer. And let me remind the congregation, even though that's not the emphasis here, it's fitting for you. No, it's your calling to pray for God's blessing upon these watchmen. Pray for us that in faithfulness to our calling, the Lord might bless us all. Pray also that you receive God's word ministered through his servants with humbleness of heart and gratitude to God, without regard to the weaknesses of those who bring that word. They are God's instruments for your salvation. To such diligent watchmen and to the church upon whose walls God places his faithful servants, God promises his blessings. God is at work, beloved. He is establishing his city. He's building his church. Also here, he uses weak means to fulfill his will. He honors faithfulness. He heeds the prayers of the righteous. His word cannot be stopped. Though the workers of iniquity rage against us and rise in rebellion against the word of God and the revelation of his holiness, you may be sure that his city shall be established. It shall be established as the center of the new creation, reflecting and showing forth in spotless holiness the praises of our God. That's his promise. He's already demonstrated his faithfulness. And he says to us, "Behold, I come quickly." To which we respond, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen. Gracious Father, we humble ourselves before thee and thy word, expressing to thee our thankfulness for thy great love for thy church and thy care for her also in the watchman thou hast provided her. Grant that our office bearers may know thy blessing, may be faithful to their calling, diligent and dependent upon thee and thy word, and that they minister thy word faithfully to us in our need. And Father, bless thy church in this place, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.